Friends, and welcome to another trip down memory lane as we gather again around the old parlor radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I welcome you as we go back to the days when radio ruled the roost. Today is Father's Day, if you're listening to the program on a Sunday, and as I did last year, I'm bringing you two great episodes that revolve around fathers. Fathers Knows Best was a radio sitcom which later became a well-known television series. It ran on radio from August 25, 1949 until November 19, 1953, all on NBC. The series revolved around the Anderson family. Radio historian John Dunning writes that Jim Anderson was an agent for General Insurance in Springfield, an average town in the average Midwest at an average time in American history. Jim's catchphrase was, "Margaret, I'm home." Jim and Margaret had three children, Betty, Bud, and Kathy, and the stories usually revolved around the kids' problems, especially teenagers Betty and Bud. Today's episode is titled Father's Day Trip and dates from 8:30 p.m. Thursday, June 15, 1950. Let's join the Andersons on their adventure.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons, brought to you by America's favorite coffee, Maxwell House. The coffee that's always good to the last drop. It was Oscar Wilde who said, "Children begin by loving their parents. As they grow older, they judge them. Sometimes they forgive them." There, in a very small nutshell, is the very foundation of what has become probably the least important of all American celebrations, Father's Day. Now, you may think that Father's Day is merely a time for the presentation of neckties that father won't wear, socks that father can't use, or books that father hasn't time to read. But in Springfield, in the white frame house on Maple Street, the Andersons have an entirely different conception of the day, like this.
Jumping creepers, why does it have to be on Sunday?
Betty, I think that's a very selfish attitude. After all your father has done for you.
But I'm gonna buy him a necktie.
Why can't we just polish the car or something?
I don't mind spending Father's Day with Daddy.
You keep out of this.
Betty?
Well, she doesn't have anything else to do anyway.
I do, too. I can do lots of things.
Mother, I have a date with Dick Andrews, and I'll have to break it.
Why can't we just polish the car or something?
I can go over to Patty's and play, or I can look at Jimmy Woody's television.
Kathy, we're going to devote the entire day to your father.
I know, but Betty said I didn't have any place else to go, and I do, because I can go over to Patty's and play, or I can...
Mother, everybody else buys their father a necktie or socks. Why do we have to be different?
Because your father is one of the sweetest men in the entire world, and I certainly think...
Well, sure, but why do I have to break a date just for that?
No matter what we buy for your father, we'll have to buy with his money.
I'll pay for it out of my allowance.
Which you get from your father.
Mother, you just don't understand.
Why can't we just polish the car or something?
Bud, the car is less than a week old, and your father has already polished it four times.
Well, this time we can do it.
Janie Liggett's buying her father a necktie, and she doesn't have to break her date for Sunday.
Betty, we'll not discuss it any further. Call Dick and tell him you're sorry.
Do I have to?
Yes, you have to.
Kathy?
Why can't we clean up the garage or something?
Yeah.
Betty, go in and call Dick.
Oh, pooh. Just because it's Father's Day, I have to ruin my whole life.
Cleaning the garage would be a good Father's Day present.
Bud.
Yes, Mom?
You can forget about your silly butterflies for one Sunday.
But I promised Joe Phillips.
I thought you'd broken your date with Joe.
I did, but if we clean the garage the first thing in the morning...
We're going to spend the day with your father. We're going to wait on him hand and foot, cater to his every wish. Sunday's going to be his day, and that's final. So let's not talk about it anymore.
Now you can't even talk.
For that, Bud Anderson, you dry the dishes.
But I didn't say anything, Mom. All I said was, you can't even talk.
It was the way you said it.
But, Mom, I didn't mean anything. All I said...
Daddy's coming.
All right, suppose we explain the whole thing to your father.
I'll dry the dishes.
And remember, not a word about Sunday. We want it to be a surprise, don't we?
Yeah, some surprise.
Bud.
Oh, sure, Mom, we sure do.
Chicken.
Mother, if Dick Andrews never calls me again, it'll be your fault. He borrowed a car for Sunday and everything.
No, let's not worry about it, Betty. You'll get another girl.
Mother, how can you say that?
How can she say what?
Daddy!
Hi, Dad.
Well, how's the world's finest family tonight?
Hi, Father.
Hi. Hello, honey.
Hi, dear.
What's the matter with Camille?
Oh, nothing much, really. You're a little late, aren't you, dear?
What's in the package, Daddy?
Ice cream. Put it in the icebox like a good girl.
Oh, boy!
Want me to put your hat away, Dad?
Thank you very much.
It'll be a pleasure.
What's the matter with him?
Oh, we had a slight misunderstanding. Nothing serious. Were you held up at the office?
No, I stopped off at Haney's garage on my way home.
Oh?
There's a very annoying rattle in the rear bumper. I'm not even sure we ought to keep that car.
Jumping catfish.
I beg your pardon?
That old wreck of ours made so much noise you couldn't hear yourself think. But if this one makes one little squeak...
Betty, as long as we had to buy a new car, we might as well have them put it in good shape.
Why don't you set the table like a good girl, Betty?
How else can you set the table?
And you help her, Kathy.
Yes, Mommy.
You know, Margaret, speaking of Sunday...
Who said anything about Sunday?
Didn't I?
No.
Oh. Well, I met Hector Smith downtown today.
How is he?
He's fine. You know, he has a client over in Plainfield.
I haven't seen Elizabeth in ages. I'll have to call her after dinner.
Yes. Heck has a client over in Plainfield.
Maybe I'd better wait until tomorrow. We'll have such a lot to talk about.
Margaret, will you please let me tell you about Hector?
Why, of course, dear. Go right ahead.
All right. Try to tell a woman anything. It's just like... What was I talking about?
Plainfield, dear.
Oh. Well...
You see, I was listening.
Yes.
Even if you weren't.
Margaret. Hector was coming back from Plainfield the other day, and he decided to take a shortcut. Well, you know how Hector is. He got lost.
Oh, that's too bad. Is he all right now?
Nothing happened to him. He just got lost. Found himself on an old dirt road way back in the hills.
My.
Margaret, you don't have to keep making those little noises. I know you're listening.
Go ahead, dear.
Well, he found a lake, just a little bit of a thing. He says it's the greatest spot for fish he's ever seen in his life. They were actually leaping out of the water. Bass, lake trout, everything. And every one of them dying to get on a hook. Margaret, doesn't that mean anything to you?
Oh, yes, dear. I'm quite excited.
Well, anyway, we're going to run up there Sunday morning and see what we can do.
Sunday morning? Jim, you can't.
Why not? It's only about 20 miles. Heck's going to pick me up at 5, and all I'll need is a few sandwiches.
Jim Anderson, I've never seen it to fail. Every time we try to surprise you with anything, you have to make other arrangements.
My birthday's in February.
Sunday is Father's Day.
Oh, that thing.
Betty and Bud broke their dates just so they could spend the day with you.
They didn't have to do that.
But they did. We had the nicest day arranged for you. We were all going out for dinner. They were going to a picture show, one I know you'd want to see.
Honey, doesn't it make any difference that I'd rather go fishing? I don't care about Father's Day.
Well, we do. We want to show you how much we love you. and we want you to have a good time.
I know what you mean, Angel, but if I'd rather go fishing...
Jim, you're being very selfish about this whole thing.
Because I want to go fishing. What's selfish about going fishing?
When a whole family decides to give up its pleasure for an entire Sunday, the very least you can do...
is give up mine. Is that what you mean?
No, I have another idea. How would it be if we went with you?
Margaret, you wouldn't like it up there, believe me. It's not the place for women and children. It's a wild little lake in the middle of nothing.
Daddy, it's Mr. Smith.
Well, come on in, Heck. We're in the kitchen.
If Elizabeth and Billy wanted to go, I'll bet Hector would take them.
I bet he wouldn't. Nobody would. When you go fishing, you fish. No place for a family.
Am I busting in on anything?
No, of course not, Hector. Come in.
Hiya, Margaret. Gosh, I haven't seen you in a dog's age.
Heck, will you explain to Margaret that families don't go on fishing trips?
Why don't they?
What?
There, you see?
Heck, come on outside. I want to show you the new car.
You showed it to me this afternoon.
Well, I want to show it to you again.
What for?
Come on, Hank.
Oh, you want to... I'll see you later, Margaret.
Don't you dare let him change your mind, Hector.
I'll be right out here if you want me, honey.
All right, dear.
What the heck's the matter with you, Heck?
Nothing. Why?
You know what happens if you take a bunch of women and kids on a fishing trip. You catch nothing.
Yeah, I know, but look, Jim...
any self-respecting fish wouldn't come within 10 miles of us. Especially if you got a peek at Kathy.
Jim, I'm not arguing with you. You're absolutely right, but...
then why did you make a crack like that in front of Margaret?
Well, to tell you the truth, Jim, if I can't take Elizabeth and Billy, I can't go.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they had something all arranged for Sunday. It's Father's Day. Billy broke a date. They're doing it all for me. Oh, I don't know.
Heck, is that lake as good as you said it was?
Oh, it's terrific, Jim. I've never seen fish like that. I'm telling you, in 5 minutes, I saw 20 of them jump out of the water.
Gee, I hate to give it up.
Well, let's go.
With Elizabeth and Billy and Margaret and...
Jim, it won't make any difference. These fish are so big, nothing will scare them.
Not even Kathy?
Not even Kathy.
Well... okay, we'll try it.
We better take both cars, huh?
We'll have to.
Leave around 5.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I gotta go home now. Tell Margaret I said goodbye, will you?
You bet. Oh, Heck.
Yeah?
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's not the first time a man and his family didn't quite see eye to eye on the best way to spend a happy Father's Day. Here's a point, however, everybody agrees on.
When it comes to a cup of coffee, you and I and the family next door all look for one thing, flavor. We want the most in flavor for every penny we spend. An extra flavor is just what you do get in our Maxwell House coffee. That wonderful good-to-the-last-drop flavor no other coffee has to offer. No coffee but Maxwell House. And there's a good reason why. It's our recipe. The only recipe on this green earth for that good-to-the-last-drop flavor. It calls for certain fine varieties of coffee to be blended together just so. It's the one way, the one recipe for that famous Maxwell House flavor. That wonderfully good flavor that's made our coffee America's favorite brand. That's why you find so much more enjoyment when your cup is filled with Maxwell House coffee. So next time you bring home a pound of coffee, make it that familiar blue tin of our Maxwell House. For more flavor, for your money's worth and more, start enjoying coffee that's always good to the last drop.
The sun comes up like a stab of light. Rose fingers reach into the night. The darkness fades, the night is gone. And day comes fast with the rising dawn. A woodcock calls, a soft wind sighs. and from its nest a starling flies. This is the dawn, the break of day, the time when
Young man, will you please shut up?
Well, pardon me.
Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Getting up in the middle of the night to chase after a bunch of stupid fish.
But Elizabeth...
We had a nice day planned for you. One we'd all have enjoyed. But no, you have to drag us up here so we can freeze to death.
Are you cold, Elizabeth?
Of course not. My teeth always chatter like this.
Billy, get the blanket out of the car for your mother. I said, get the blanket out of the car.
No, thanks. I'm quite comfortable.
Billy!
Leave the boy alone, Hector. The poor child. If he had a father with the slightest bit of consideration...
Elizabeth, I didn't say you had to come along. This was your idea.
Naturally. You haven't had an idea since the day I met you.
Now, look, Elizabeth.
When I think of the men I could have married and didn't...
Lucky dog.
Hector!
I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I was thinking of... I think the Andersons are coming.
Well, it's about time. You'd think they'd have hurried a little.
Well, the road's kind of rough, Elizabeth, and Jim has a new car.
Oh, Hector, stop making excuses for them. They're just like everyone else we know. Don't consider a soul but themselves. Especially that Margaret. Thinks her children are the most wonderful things that ever lived. And if you ask me, Margaret, darling.
Elizabeth, we're awfully sorry.
Hiya, Hick. We thought you were lost.
I'm awfully sorry we're so late, Elizabeth.
Oh, Angel, we hadn't even noticed it.
We had to stop on account of Kathy. Her hat blew out of the car, and we had an awful time finding it.
Hi, Billy.
Billy, wake up, dear. Betty is here.
She is? Oh, hi, Betty.
Hi.
Say, this is quite a spot, Heck. Yes, sir. It's all right.
Jim, I saw a bass, so help me, it was that long.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not, Jim. Well, maybe that long. Hey, there. Did you see that one, Jim?
Hmm?
What did I tell you, huh?
Where?
Right there, near the dock.
I don't see anything.
Jim, you aren't looking in the right place.
Well, what's the difference? The place I want to see him is on the end of my line. Got all your stuff, Heck?
You ain't just a woofin'. The greatest assortment of fish persuaders in the world. And it's all on the dock waiting for Papa.
Hector, where are you going?
Fishing, why?
You'll do no such thing. There's a little thing like breakfast that comes first.
Breakfast? Oh, honey, we
haven't any time for breakfast, Elizabeth. It's practically 6:30.
Jim, Elizabeth's right.
My lands have got all that food to take out of the car.
I'll get it, Elizabeth.
I'll get it myself. You just build a fire.
Honey, if we build you a nice big fire, then is it all right if we go fishing?
After you've had your breakfast.
Wait a minute. How about the kids? Why can't they build a fire?
And where'd they go anyway?
Kathy?
Want me, Daddy?
Where's Bud?
He's under a bush.
What?
Jim, do you have to shout so loud?
How else can I shout? Kathy, what's he doing under a bush?
He's sleeping.
Well, wake him up.
Why?
Because it's time for breakfast.
Breakfast? You want me for breakfast, Dad?
I'll take it, Dad, again.
Hey, what happened to Billy?
Betty?
Yes, Father?
Where's Billy?
You want me, Mr. Anderson?
What are you doing over there?
Just watching the lake.
Well, let Betty watch it for a while.
Alone?
There's nothing to worry about. Nobody ever steals a lake until after breakfast.
Hiya, Dad. What's cooking?
Nothing yet. Get some wood.
You said it was time for breakfast.
Bud, we've got to build a fire. Get some wood.
Where?
You know, Heck, at this point, our ancestors are probably spinning in their graves. Where?
Well, gosh, what do I know about getting wood?
Jim, you're only confusing the boy.
Bud, you see that tree? You see all those trees? That's wood.
What am I supposed to do? bite him down? Oh, holy cow, Mom.
Bud, go into the woods, pick up dead branches, twigs, anything that'll burn, and bring him back here. There's nothing complicated about that, is there?
I guess not.
And stop scratching.
But I itch.
I said stop scratching and get going.
I told them we ought to polish the car. Now I gotta make like a beaver.
You want me to go someplace, Mr. Anderson?
Well...
Leads with his chin every time, doesn't he?
Billy, we have a slight problem.
Oh?
We are faced with the task of providing heat without fuel.
Well, you don't say. You know, we had the same thing once in a physics exam, and it's a cinch. Friction. That's how you do it. Now, you take two bodies...
Billy, shut up and get some wood.
What?
I said, get some wood.
Oh, okay. But I thought Mr. Anderson said...
Wood!
Hector, stop raising your voice.
Wood.
Fine, nobody has to get excited about it. I'll get all the wood you want.
Jim.
Margaret, as soon as the boys get back with the wood...
Are those your things Kathy's playing with?
Where?
On the edge of the dock.
Holy smoke, my tackle!
Of all the rattled brains...
Jim, don't frighten her.
Kathy!
Jim?
Father!
Kathy, grab the dock. We'll be right there.
Hector.
Take it easy, Kathy.
What's going on?
Hector, do something.
We're coming, Kathy. We'll have you out in 2 seconds.
Daddy! Daddy!
Now, Kathy,
Daddy.
Kathy. Kathy, give me your hand. Come on, honey. Hold your hand on. That's a good girl.
You got her, Jim?
That's my girl. Now we're all right.
Oh, Kathy.
Daddy! I fell in.
I know, honey, but you're all right now. You're all right.
Hector, get the blanket out of the car. The poor child's wringing wet.
I'll get it, Mrs. Smith.
Oh, go ahead, Bud. Hurry.
Okay.
Is she okay, Mother?
Yes, dear, she's fine.
Daddy scared me, and that's why I fell in.
Jim, look at my stuff. It's gone.
Jumping, Jehoshaphat.
I was trying to catch a fish and you scared me.
It's all right, baby.
Margaret, take that child up to the car immediately. She's got to get out of those wet clothes.
Oh, thank you, Elizabeth. I can't even think straight. Of course, her father is much more concerned about that smelly old fishing tackle.
Men. I don't know why they ever invented them anyway.
Gosh, I'm awfully sorry, Heck.
My whole kit. Down at the bottom of the lake. Look at it.
You mean you can see it? Where?
Ah, down there. Must be 30 feet. Hey, where are you going?
I've got an idea, Heck. Don't go away.
Father's Day. Isn't bad enough having children, you have to have Father's Day.
Can you still see it, Heck?
Yeah. Practically smiling at me.
Well, don't worry about it. We'll get it out all right.
What are you going to do?
What would you say was the right bait for your fishing tackle?
For my... Oh, you mean...
First, we'll fish for tackle, then we'll fish for fish.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You think you can do it?
Of course we can. See now, that's about the biggest hook I have.
You got any sinkers?
Of course I have sinkers. Stop worrying, Heck. I'll get down there all right.
Is that the heaviest line you got?
Well, I didn't expect to catch any whales today.
I know, Jim, but that stuff weighs a ton.
Heck, I give you my personal guarantee. If I hook it, I'll land it. Now, let me have a little room, will you?
Allow for a little drift into the shore, Jim.
I'll put it right on the button. Okay, low bridge. Nice casting, huh?
What'd you have to put away out there for?
So I can drag it across. Now, leave me alone, Heck. I know what I'm doing.
Well, morning, man. Having any luck?
Sure, all bad. Can you see it, Heck?
I think you're too far to the left.
Well, maybe I can pull it over.
Doing a little bottom fishing, eh?
Look, fella, we're busy right now. We got troubles. Come back some other time, huh?
Okay.
Just a minute.
Come on, Jim. We haven't got all day.
Take it easy, Heck. He might be a game warden or something. You wouldn't happen to be a game warden or anything, would you?
Me? Oh, no. I'm not a game warden.
Because if you are, we've got our licenses and permits and things like that.
We don't worry about those things up here.
Oh. This wouldn't be a private lake, would it?
Oh, no, no, no. Not a private lake at all.
You know, for a minute you had me worried.
No, it's nothing like that. This is a government fish hatchery.
Oh, no.
Poor father. If it isn't one thing, it's another. That long trip all for nothing. Just goes to show it always pays to look before you leap.
On that score, when it comes to buying a pound of coffee, it always pays to look for flavor. Yes, you want to be sure you get the most in flavor for every penny you spend. And that's just what you do get in every pound of our Maxwell House coffee. An extra measure of flavor. That wonderful, good to the last drop flavor no coffee but Maxwell House gives you. We're proud as can be of that famous flavor. It's the big reason why more people buy and enjoy our Maxwell House than any other brand. And today, as always, you can count on it every cup you pour. Because we'll never compromise on the quality of one single pound. That's why now, more than ever, your coffee buy is Maxwell House. Every pound, every cup, you can be sure it's always good to the last drop.
Once again, it's breakfast time in the white frame house on Maple Street. But it's a lonely sort of breakfast with none of the children at the table. Just Margaret and Jim, two lonely parents, discussing the disastrous effects of Father's Day, like this.
There's no sense being upset about it, Jim. Dr. Simmons said it was nothing serious.
I know, but you'd certainly think Betty'd have enough sense to recognize goldenrod after all these years.
She didn't see it, Jim, and she still says it wasn't goldenrod.
Well, it was something. She's puffed up like a frog.
Well, Bud's the one I'm worried about. He says it itches terribly.
There's a giant brain for you. Goes to sleep in a patch of poison ivy. Wallows in the stuff. How's Kathy?
Oh, she'll be all right in a few days. It's just a little cold. Jim, I don't understand. How can you laugh at a time like this?
I don't know, Margaret. The whole thing is hysterical. It was quite a fishing trip.
Wasn't it?
Hay fever, poison ivy, a cold. This family caught everything except fish.
The instant coffee with a famous flavor. That's instant Maxwell House, the happiest combination in coffee. Wonderful, good to the last drop flavor, combined with the convenience and thrift of coffee made instantly in the cup. So easy, no pot, no grounds. So thrifty, saves you real money compared to ordinary coffee. So truly good, pure roaster fresh flavor. Try instant Maxwell House, the instant coffee with a famous flavor. Instantly good to the last drop. Bob, I have a duty to perform right now, which gives me a great deal of pleasure. We were all quite thrilled when the National Father's Day Committee named you Screen Father of the Year. Well, this is the committee's medal, and they've asked me to present it to you with their blessings and warmest wishes.
Thank you very much, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, naturally, I'm very proud of this honor, but not for myself alone. As the father of four girls, I've spent a lot of time and gnawed a lot of nails in the waiting rooms of various hospitals in Southern California. Now, to prospective fathers who are wearing themselves to a frazzle, pacing endlessly up and down in hospital corridors all over the country, I have a most reassuring message. Fellas, you see, they do give medals to fathers. Thanks again, Bill, and good night.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Forman. So until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned for Screen Guild Theater, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
Stay tuned for Screen Guild Theater, next on NBC.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this story as much as I did. Jim's kids sure have a lot to learn about being in the woods. That was Father Knows Best from Thursday, June 15, 1950. The story was called Father's Day Trip and originally ran on NBC. Next, we're going to hear a series that likely requires little introduction. The Lone Ranger was one of the early series on radio and definitely one of the first series aimed at kids. The series debuted on January 31, 1933 on WXYZ in Detroit and ran until September 3, 1954 on ABC. The series was, and still is, one of the most iconic radio series in history. Today's episode, from March 17, 1948, is titled, Like Father, Like Son.
Fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. I'll Silver. Hey!
Walt Carver was a big man, hard as nails and faster on the draw than any other man in the territory. At 50, Walt hadn't changed much. He was still hard and tough and quick of temper. 25 years before, he had brought his bride, Susan, to Texas and had claimed a large expanse of land as his own. Starting with little or nothing, Walt had fought stubbornly to reach his goal, to become one of the territory's most prosperous ranchers. He was tough and ruthless in his methods. And because of his stubbornness, quick temper, and lightning-like draw, few men cared to cross him. A year after his marriage, Walt had a son whom he called Sandy, and in whom he tried to instill the tough, ruthless traits he himself had, but without success. But Walt's one consolation was that Sandy, now 24, was even quicker on the draw with a gun than he was. One evening, Sandy entered the ranch house for supper.
Dad, I want to talk to you about something.
Well, go ahead and have your say. Be quick about it. I'm about to eat supper.
I reckon you knew that Tex and the boys were using a running iron to do a little extra branding, didn't you, Dad?
You know, Sandy, I don't like that tone of voice coming from you.
Stop trying to cover up and give me a straight answer. You know, I'm not a maverick any longer, Dad.
All right, suppose I did know about that running iron. What about it?
They were using those irons to change the Circle Y brand to our brand, the Circle X.
You don't say. Well, now that would be easy. It would just take an extra little line to change that Y to an X, wouldn't it?
That's right. But I don't like what I saw.
Well, you don't, eh? You do your work and mind your own business, you understand? I'm running this ranch. What's more, I'm not taking any back talk from you. Sit down and eat your supper.
Wait a minute, Dad. Not so fast. I found out they put that brand on almost 100 head of Circle Y cattle. Jed Combs can't afford a loss like that. And if he found
out...
In
the first place, he couldn't prove a thing. And in the second place, I've warned Jed Combs to keep his cattle off the North Range or take the consequences.
But that's open range. It doesn't belong to you.
I've always used that North Range to graze my cattle. Combs' cattle are the only others to come there.
But his ranch is nearby. That's why... I've heard it said that the Circle X brand went on a lot of strays from other ranches in the past. But I didn't believe it. Until today.
I let people say what they like. As long as they don't get loco enough to say it to my face. Now, you've had your say. I don't want to discuss it any further. Come on in here, Susie. I'm ready to eat. Sit down, sir.
I don't reckon I'm ready to sit down yet. I have some more to say about the matter, Dad.
I said sit down!
Oh, Sandy, what's the matter?
This stubborn young fool is trying to tell me how to run the Circle Y X.
Please, son, sit down.
Wait, Mom. This is something between us that has to be settled now.
I'll settle it in a hurry if you don't...
Listen a minute, Dad. I said I don't like what I found out, and I mean just that. I hate to think of you being nothing more than a cattle rustler.
Why, well, you...
Walt, oh, Walt, you shouldn't have done that.
I can take it. From him, Mom. I guess I sort of had it coming.
Sandy, you're flopper.
I reckon I'm not hungry, Mom.
So help me, Sandy. If you go talking out of turn to Jed Combs, you'll be sorry.
Don't worry about that. I'm going out to see how the roundup's coming along for the cattle drive.
The following morning, Walt Carver rode out to the range to give last-minute instructions to Sandy and to Tex the foreman as the big drive to the stockyard started. The three men sat on their horses watching as the cowhands urged the herd into motion.
How many heads you figure you got there, Tex?
A little over 3,000 head, Mr. Carver.
Good. See that you get them all to the stockyard.
We'll get them there, providing nothing happens.
Don't let anything happen. Sandy, when you get there, go to the agent for the cattle buyer. He's paying $15 a head in cash. See that you bring it back to be safe.
I'll collect the money, don't worry. Now let's get going, Tex.
Right.
I'll ride point and you ride drag. Have the boys watch out for strays back
there. Sure, Sandy. Adios, Mr. Carver.
So long, I'll be expecting you back the end of the week.
We'll make it that time. Adios. Get up.
Get up.
After making a successful drive and collecting the money for the herd, Sandy Carver, with Tex and the cowhand, started back home. As they had figured, it was the end of the week when they rode along the trail near the North Range toward the Circle X spread. At a fork in the trail, Sandy called a halt.
Hold up, boys!
Oh,
what are we stopping here for, Sandy?
I'm leaving you here, Tex.
Hmm?
I got a bit of business to attend to. Here, you take this bag and give it to Dad. It has the money in it.
Yeah, sure.
Give him this note, too, will you, Tex?
All right. Now tell him you come along later.
No need to. That note will explain. Just give it to him when you give him the bag of money.
Just as you say, Sandy. We'll be seeing you later.
Maybe. Get up there. Come on.
Well, now, what do you mean by that, I wonder? Let's go, boys.
Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up.
A short time later, Sandy reined up in front of Jed Combs' place, the Circle Y Ranch.
Thanks, Peggy. Glad to see you, too.
Come on in.
I don't mind if I do. I want to talk to your father.
Dad? Dad, here's Sandy Carver. He wants to talk to you.
Sandy Carver, huh?
Let me tell you, Sandy, you've got a lot of nerve coming here.
Huh?
By thunder, if I could get proof that Walt Carver changed my brand to his like a thieving rustler...
Careful, Jed. He's my father, you know.
I know that. You can tell him what I said if you want to. If he wasn't so quick-tempered and fast on the
draw...
Hold on, Jed. I came here about your strays.
You did, huh? Well, speak up. What about him?
Well, it was easier to just drive him along to the stockyards with ours than to go to the trouble of culling him out of the herd. So that's what we did. We figured there were about 100 of your cattle. We got a good price for them, and I brought you the money. Here it is. $1,500 in cash.
Well, by thunder, guess I misjudged Walt at that. $15 a head, huh? Well, thanks, Sandy. That's better than I could have done myself.
Now, you'd better apologize for what you said, Dad.
Huh? I'll do better than that. I'll ride over tonight and thank Walt in person.
No. No, Jed, you better not do that.
Why not?
Well, it was sort of my idea. Bringing over that cash, I mean. You see, Dad, well, he...
I reckon I get it now. I couldn't savvy Walt's changing like that all of a sudden. Guess I got you to thank, huh? But, tell me, what's Walt going to say when you go home?
I'm not going home, Jed. I reckon I don't have to do any hedging. You know Dad pretty well.
Sandy, I'm glad you're different from your dad. Like you said, I know him plenty well. And he won't be forgetting it if you did this without his consent.
Oh, Sandy.
He has his faults, Jed, but like I said, he is my dad. I know he won't like this, so I'll let him make the next move. I'll stop at the hotel in town for a while. I better be getting along now. Adios, Jed.
Adios, Sandy. Come around again soon.
Thanks.
Sandy, I do hope your father won't make trouble for you.
I'll know before long. If he wants to, he'll know where to find me. Goodbye, Peggy. I'll be seeing you again for sure.
Meantime, in the hills outside of Dry Gulch, the town near Carver's Ranch, the Lone Ranger and Tonto had pitched camp a couple of days before. They were discussing rumors that Tonto had heard in town that afternoon.
So some of the men from the comb spread think Walt Carver rebranded some of their cattle, huh?
That's what me hear cowpoke from Combs Ranch say.
I wouldn't be surprised. Walt Carver does just about what he pleases around here. The others are afraid of him.
That's right. Me hear him have plenty quick temper. Draw gun heap fast, too.
Yes, he has that reputation. I wonder if Jed Combs will try to do anything about the cattle.
Maybe him not dare. Maybe him afraid.
That's right. Of course he'd need proof. They say that Carver readily admits he takes over any strays he finds on the North Range. He's one of the old ruthless type of pioneers who thinks might makes right. Nowadays, though, his actions are liable to start a range war. I think I'll put on a disguise, Tonto, and then we'll ride into town after supper and see if there's any more rumors. With the disguise, I won't have to wear my mask.
Now me get supper ready.
That night, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode into Dry Gulch and went to the cafe. They sat down at a table in the back, just as Sandy Carver approached them.
We'll sit here, Tonto.
Say, mister, you have a match?
Yes. Here's one.
Thanks. You have a cigarette?
No, thanks.
I reckon you're a stranger in town, aren't you?
Well, that's right.
My name's Carver. Folks call me Sandy.
Oh? I've heard of Walt Carver of the Circle X.
He's my father.
I see.
Mind if I sit down here? The place is kind of crowded tonight.
Of course. Sit down.
Thanks. I reckon what folks might have told you about Dad wasn't too good. But he's got a lot of good qualities he don't show much.
I'm sure he has, Sandy. It took men of his caliber to build the West. What they went through made them resent the fact that others who have followed in later years had it so much easier.
Say, now, I reckon you hit the nail right on the head at that, mister. Oh, here comes Tex, our ranch foreman.
Oh.
Hey, Tex, I'm back here.
Well, I was hoping I'd find you here, Sandy. Got bad news for you.
I thought maybe you would have. Did you give Dad the money in the note?
I sure did. He was worried at first when he saw you weren't with me. Then I gave him the money in the note.
What then?
Sandy, after he read that note saying that you were paying Combs for his strays, that you'd be waiting at the hotel if he wanted you,
man, he like to tore the roof off.
I expected him to be sore.
Sore? Listen, he says to me, Tex, you go tell that no good Sandy I said to hit the trail if he knows what's good for him. If he isn't gone by tomorrow noon, by thunder, I'll go gunning for him.
Mad said that?
Yes, sir. And that's what I come to tell you, Sandy. I never saw him so mad before. And knowing him like I do, I'm sure as blazes that he'll gun you down if he meets up with you. Now, you better leave town tonight, Sandy.
But Sandy's his own son.
Mister, that don't make him change his mind once he says a thing. Mr. Carver's plenty stubborn. Both him and Sandy are faster on the draw than anybody else in the territory. So there's no telling what'll happen if they meet.
I see. What are you going to do, Sandy?
There's only one thing I can do. Tex, go back and tell Dad what I said in that note stands. If he wants me, I'll be here. I'm staying right in town.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. Now to continue our story. Sandy Carver had just met the Lone Ranger and Tonto in the cafe when Tex, the ranch foreman, came in with a message from Mr. Carver saying that unless Sandy hit the trail before noon the next day, his father would come gunning for him. The others in the cafe closed in around the table as Tex told Sandy the news. And when the Lone Ranger asked him what he intended to do, they were surprised by his answer that he was going to stay in town.
You mean you're going to stay here and wait for your father to come gunning for you, Sandy?
I couldn't run away, Tex, or I'd feel like a coward.
Hey, your dad's greased lightning with a gun.
Sandy's as good as he is.
Sure, I'd bet on Sandy.
I've heard, Sandy, that you're as quick on the draw as your father. Not quicker. But if you stay and face him...
Don't worry, mister. I reckon I know what you're thinking. Well, guess I'll be getting down to the hotel for a little sleep. Adios, everybody.
Good night. Adios, Sandy. Let's get out of here, Tonto.
We go back to camp now, Kimosabe?
No, Tonto. We're going to ride to the Circle X Ranch. I want to have a talk with Walt Carver.
Easy, steady, McGee.
Easy, Scott. Easy,
Walt. Walt, hold it. Come up, Scott.
A short time later, the Lone Ranger and Tonto reined up in front of Walt Carver's ranch house.
Oh, easy.
You wait here, Tonto. I won't be long.
You wait.
Good evening, stranger. What can I do for you?
Are you Walt Carver?
That's right, I am.
I'd like to talk to you.
What about him?
About your son, Sandy.
He sent you here. Get away from that door.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'll give you 1 second to get your foot away so as I can close this door.
I said I came to talk to you, Mr. Carver.
Yes, and this says you get away from here pronto.
There's no need for that gun.
Get back on your horse before I put a bullet in you, mister. I'm not talking to any of Sandy's cronies now or ever. Now get.
From what I see here, I believe you would gun down your own son at that.
When I say a thing, I mean it. Go tell Sandy that. He hasn't got sense to know already.
Your son isn't going to leave town, Mr. Carver. He decided to wait for you.
Well, that proves he's no coward anyway. Are you going, or do I have to shoot him?
I'm going. We'll meet again, Mr. Carver. Adios. He's a strange man, Tonto. He's hard and stubborn. Yet he seemed proud of the fact that Sandy isn't going to run away.
After spending the night in camp, the Lone Ranger and Tonto set out for town the next morning. The Lone Ranger still wore his disguise as a rancher. As they rode along the trail, Tonto spoke.
You think Walt Carver really shoots some Kimosabe?
Yes, I believe he'll try, Tonto. I'm just as certain from the way he spoke and the expression on his face that Sandy won't draw against his father.
That means him get killed, maybe.
Yes, but I hope we can prevent that, Tonto. The ironical thing about the situation is there's a strong bond between those two men. Found that out as I talked to them.
Them both plenty stubborn, seem like.
Yes, especially Walt Carver. I figure this is the first time Sandy's gone against his father's wishes. That fact has maddened Mr. Carver beyond reason.
That's right.
I want to get to town early, Tonto. So let's hurry.
Come up, Scout.
Meantime, Sandy had an early morning visitor at the hotel. He sat in the lobby talking to Peggy Combs.
Sandy, when I heard about what your father intends to do, I just had to come here.
I'm glad you did, Peggy.
Please, Sandy, it isn't too late. Leave town now. Everybody knows your father's too stubborn to back down. And if you two meet at noon, he'll kill you. Oh, please go, Sandy.
You know as well as I do, Peggy, I can't run away.
No. No, I suppose you can't. Oh, Sandy, to think this is all because of what you did for my father.
I'd do it again, too. I was hoping that Dad would, well, sort of see things my way after I got a chance to talk to him. I guess he'll never change.
Oh, Sandy, it's all so awful.
One way or the other, honey, I figure it'll turn out for the best. I'll be meeting him outside, so you better wait in here, Peggy. Well, maybe I'll be seeing you later.
As noontime approached, tension mounted in town. Crowds lined the street outside of the hotel, waiting for the meeting between Walt Carver and Sandy. The Lone Ranger and Tonto stood near the hotel porch, beside the ranch foreman, Tex.
So help me, mister, if Walt Carver guns down Sandy,
I'll... Wait, take it easy, Tex. Wait and see what happens. Oh, there comes Sandy from hotel now.
Hey, Sandy.
Hello, Tex.
We're pulling for you, Sandy. But you got to promise to use your gun. If you don't...
Thanks,
you...
Tex.
I know what I'm going to do.
Doggone it, you're as stubborn as your dad.
Maybe.
Hey, here comes Walt Carver. Right into somebody else.
Well, this is it. I better get into the middle of the street where he can see me waiting.
Good luck, Sandy.
Thanks, mister. Adios.
Adios.
Adios,
Sandy.
Adios.
Hang it all. There he goes, walking out calm as he please, knowing it might be his death.
Sandy has a lot of courage.
Yeah, Walt Carver sure looks mean.
Get them horses out of the way.
As Walt Carver, who was about 50 feet away, turned toward his son, the crowd became deadly quiet. Sandy stood calmly, his arms loose at his sides, and stared steadily at his father as the older man began to walk slowly toward him. Every eye in the crowd was glued to the two men enacting the drama before them. And with the crowd, the Lone Ranger and Tonto listened intently as Walt stopped walking about 10 feet away and spoke angrily.
I told you to hit the trail, Sandy, or take the consequences. No hombre crosses me and gets away with it. Not even my own son.
Him look plenty mad. Him not hesitate to shoot.
Wait, Tonto. Listen.
I'm giving you a chance, Sandy. I taught you to draw and shoot as good as I can. I'm counting three. And you better draw, you savvy?
I heard you, Dad.
All right, then. One.
The crowd tensed as Walt counted one. All eyes went to Sandy for the moment. And the same thought seemed to strike everyone.
Sandy won't draw against his father.
He's a fool if he don't.
Walt will gun him down.
Two.
I can't stand it if Carver shoots Sandy, so help me out gunning him down right after.
Now wait, Tex. Control yourself.
You better be thinking about drawing, Sandy. It's you or me now.
Oh, wait a minute, Carver. I've got you covered. Don't move.
Oh, he hired you to interfere, huh?
No, he didn't. It's about time you realize your son won't draw against you. I'll take your gun.
Wait, wait.
Take
Sandy's gun. Bryce Hunter, maybe you got my gun. But now I'll beat that boy with my fist within an inch of his life.
Sorry they took your gun in my name.
Hey, you fool. I'll show you you can't cross me.
Oh, right back, Sandy. Get out and stop.
All right, get your feet.
Come on, Sandy.
Now take this. And this.
Walt rained blow after blow upon Sandy, who never raised a hand to defend himself. Then, as the sun fell down after another hard blow, the Lone Ranger came between them and faced Walt Carver.
Oh, wait, Carver. About time you learned a lesson from someone who will strike back.
Oh, you're interfering again, huh? Well, no hombre has ever outdrawn or outfought me yet, mister. Now I'll teach you a thing or two.
You asked for this. Thank you for sending. And if you want more, get up.
Come on, Sandy. Let him. You're plenty tough, mister. But I'm not through yet.
Hold on, stranger.
Well, Sandy?
You hit him again, you're going to have to lick me, savvy?
Hey, Sandy,
yeah, I understand.
Well, see here, Sandy. You mean you'd stand up to that bolt of lightning after seeing what he's doing to me?
He heard what I said. I don't back down when I say something.
You got that from your father, Sandy. I heard what you said, all right, and I know you mean it.
But Sandy didn't land one blow on me.
Sandy never tried to land a blow. Mr. Carver, it's about time you came to your senses and realized that Sandy has grown to manhood. He's more than your match in every way. But because you're his father, he refused to draw against you or fight you.
Oh, Sandy, I can't stand any more of this. You two, a father and a son, who are supposed to love each other, facing each other with guns and fighting each other in the street. You could have killed your father, but you wouldn't draw. You could have beaten him in a fight, but you wouldn't raise your fist against him. If it hadn't been for this stranger, your father would... Oh, you stubborn old fool. Gone stark, raving mad because he can't make you just like him.
No, no, Peggy. Take it easy, honey.
The girl says it's true, Carver. Your strong desire to make everyone bend to your will blinded you, in spite of the strong feeling I know you have for your son. Well, we'll never know just what would have happened if I'd let you go on with the guns.
I don't like to think about that. Well, I have a sneaking suspicion. I might have shot wild.
You hadn't shot wild and Sandy hadn't a draw, Mr. Carver. I'd have plugged you, so help me. We all know Sandy can outdraw him. And we know, too, that he could have whipped you with his fist if he had a mind.
Well, what do you expect? He's a carver, isn't he?
Well, I'll be doggone.
What's more, he's my son. Sandy, I...
Yes, Dad?
I guess I didn't realize you were grown up, like you said. And as for your giving that money to Combs in spite of me, well, I was kind of proud of that underneath. Do you think you could sort of forget what's happened? Maybe get into the saddle and run things at the ranch the way you want to run them?
Oh, gosh, Dad, sure.
Let's shake on it.
All right.
I knew you weren't a coward the way you stayed to meet me. And the way you stood up to that stranger who was even better with his fist than I was. Where'd he go?
Oh, he and the Indian went over to the hitch rack. Oh, he was wonderful the way he stopped you and made things come out the way they have.
Yeah. I guess we owe everything to him, Dad. I wonder who he is.
I found out from the Indian, Sandy. There was a Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger? Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created and produced by George W. Trendle, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.
What a great ending to a nice story. That was a Lone Ranger story like Father Like Son, which is first heard the evening of Wednesday, March 17th, 1948 on ABC. I'm almost out of time for this week, but I'd like to pass along my contact information. My email address is opr@telus.net, T-E-L-U-S, and my postal address is Old Parlor Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have an awesome week and happy Father's Day. Thank you.